Coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
The pandemic still isn't over, but this may be the perfect time for local entrepreneurs to finally start that new business.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
In 2021, in just the city of Superior alone, there was over 23 businesses started.
Plus, who wouldn't want their own flying machine?
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
A mechanical engineer from Poplar is making it a reality.
Basically, it's a drone, and hopefully allow us to make a really neat and new kind of approach to a manned aircraft.
Those stories and the regional news and review after this. The pandemic still isn't over, but this may be the perfect time for local entrepreneurs to finally start that new business.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
In 2021, in just the city of Superior alone, there was over 23 businesses started.
Plus, who wouldn't want their own flying machine?
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
A mechanical engineer from Poplar is making it a reality.
Basically, it's a drone, and hopefully allow us to make a really neat and new kind of approach to a manned aircraft.
We'll take a trip to the new Kitty Hawk of Poplar in a bit. But first, let's get down to business. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Ever since the pandemic hit, the whole country, if not the world, has faced economic uncertainty. Yet that hasn't stopped entrepreneurs from opening up new businesses. In fact, it may have encouraged some. One of the best places to get advice for your startup in northern Wisconsin is the Wisconsin Small Business Development Center. But if you're looking for it at their longtime home on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Superior, they've moved. Don't fret. Joining us, as he does every quarter or so, is the director, Andrew Donahue, who will tell us where they are now and what they've been up to. Welcome back to Simply Superior, Andy.
Thanks, Robin. Great to be back again.
So tell us, I'm taking faith you're somewhere. Where did you move? What are you guys up to?
Yeah, it's been kind of a whirlwind of move over probably the last year or so. So this really started almost 2 years ago, pre-COVID, as we were looking to move our offices, you know, on campus just to a bigger space, which we did for a short time. And then we got this little project that we were working on with a variety of different organizations in the community about creating a new co-working incubator space in Superior. So our new address is actually at 1401 Tower Avenue. It is the old post office government building on Tower. So we are located on the first floor. So we have been here now just about 2 months or so.
So this was in the works anyway. It wasn't a casualty, if you will, of COVID.
No. This has been in the works now for about, gosh, I would say 16 to 18 months or so. It started as part of a collaboration between the university, the SBDC, the Development Association, and the Entrepreneur Fund, working on a project called Venture Home, which is going to be a new startup accelerator and programming that we're going to launch here in Superior this year. And part of the program was to have an off-campus location where businesses that are looking to scale and accelerate, they would have a home where they could have a smaller office, different programming that they could be attuned to, and work with organizations such as us to really work with them from their business plan to their financial projections, marketing, and operations. So it was a great synergy that could exist already. And, you know, part of the program was to have us move off campus. So now we're in the heart of downtown Superior and ready to go to help businesses succeed and grow.
So what's been the trend in new business startups? I think a year ago we discussed this issue and you gave the surprising report that new businesses were up in the height of the pandemic. Well, again, we thought it was the height of the pandemic. Who knows when that was or is, as opposed to people being more cautious and waiting. So A, is that still happening? And B, why is that?
You know, over the last 2 years, a lot of individuals have been able to think about what they wanted to do from a recreational standpoint with just having a smaller business where they would do in their spare time, or individuals, you know, during the time when a lot of things were shut down or they would have to work from home. Took that time to really start thinking about, is this something that I want to do from a full-time perspective, running my own business or organization? So we're seeing that still be a trend. You know, the number of clients that we've served over the last couple of years have been up year over year, even as we got out of some of the governmental funding. You know, the new businesses and clients that we've seen have been extraordinary compared to non-COVID years, which has been surprising, but also it shows the potential of entrepreneurs in our region and across, you know, really the whole area of Northwest Wisconsin. I know in 2021, and just in the city of Superior alone, there was over 23 businesses started, which, you know, you'd think in a COVID pandemic, that would be something that you would see probably decrease. And there's really no slowdown. We're seeing them pop up all over the city and the county, and really from a regional standpoint in Northwest Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Since we still haven't heard an all clear, I'm wondering if you have an update on pandemic relief for businesses, such as PPP loans. Are those at all available now that the pandemic has not gone away?
Most of the governmental programs have, you know, stopped and have been allocated from their funding. You know, there are still a few little remnants of the EIDL proceeds still available. If you had an application in before, there are some state grants that are available as well. But what I would recommend, if you're ever looking for different funding options, you know, give us a call. We can certainly, you know, work with our resource partners, you know, not only regionally here, but federally to find the best resources possible. You know, we used to say that grants were a lot harder to come by pre-COVID. Now there's just so many different options that are out there, even though they might not be grant related. There's a variety of different resources that you could be tied into, with low interest rates, you know, potential grants, other resources that you could utilize for your business.
And it's constantly changing, right?
Absolutely. Things change just like how it was for the last 2 years. Things are constantly changing. So anytime you have a question or just looking for any other funding options, certainly give us a ring and we can certainly work with you to, you know, get you matched up with somebody.
We're speaking with Andrew Donahue, Director of the Small Business Development Center, now on Tower Avenue, 1401 Tower Avenue in downtown Superior. One of the biggest points you always remind entrepreneurs, or you've told us on the show, is that the idea that you had to start your business in the first place may change once you get started or a year or two in. So can you tell us how that works and remind people it's normal not to panic when it turns out that, well, I won't give an example, I'll let you do it.
Yeah, and really it comes down to that proper planning. You know, a lot of individuals will start a business plan, at least get it on paper in an outline format. We'll work with them to flesh out the idea even further, looking at the financial aspect of it, the marketing, the operations. But you know, you can do all the planning that you want and reality will set in when you open your doors. And that's where having a solid plan of action, either a business plan or some sort of strategic document that you can reflect back on, is going to really help you as an individual when you're launching your business. You know, it's something that you can rely back on for information to see where things worked out well, where they might have not, where you might have gone astray a little bit. So it's a great opportunity to reflect back and to see, you know, why you were successful, or if there were changes to your organization, what, you know, areas did you not follow that you originally anticipated. The other aspect of it is, you know, we've seen the last couple of years is you have to make adjustments on the fly sometimes, and you have to, you know, that word of pivot, you know, figure out how you can be successful in a different environment. You know, nobody would have expected COVID to last the 2 years it did. However, it's still, you know, relevant today. So businesses and organizations still have to add that contingency plan now to the business plan or their business operations to make sure that in case of an emergency or some sort of, you know, pandemic again, that they have an opportunity to plan that out.
One example, by the way, we've used as sort of our poster child, and they've been on the show before, is Twisted Pastries, which started out with the idea of being a coffee shop and then realized that their pastries were actually really the heart of their business and repositioned themselves to do that. They're not the only ones on the street now, though. You could stop by Twisted Pastries and go down to, of course, Superior Waffles now. And they're not the only ones. Annie's giving us the method and theory here. But in a bit, we're going to hear from Shelley Nelson of the Superior Telegram, who will give us a rundown of some of those startups. As far as what you do, Andy, your advice to companies goes beyond the borders of Superior.
Oh, absolutely. So we cover an 8-county region in northwest Wisconsin. So if you look at the map of Wisconsin, the northern part, we go from border to border, from the Minnesota-Wisconsin border all the way to the Wisconsin-UP border as well, and also the 4-county south. So, you know, over the last, you know, 2 years, we've helped hundreds of clients. You know, we've touched clients and helped them in each of the counties that we do serve. And even this year, we're probably anticipating anywhere between 300 and 350 clients that we'll work with, you know, in the 8-county region of northwest Wisconsin.
We're speaking with Andrew Donahue, director of the Small Business Development Center, formerly located on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Superior, still affiliated, but now at 1401 Tower Avenue. And once more, the phone number is... And the web address?
Yep, absolutely. The phone number directly is 715-919-0190. You can email me at adonahue@uwsuper.edu, or you can just go to the website at www.wisconsinsbdc.org/superior.
And I'll repeat that information. The website is wisconsinsbdc.org/superior, and the phone number is 715-919-0190. Again, 715-919-0190. You know, we mentioned Superior Waffles, and we did do a piece on them, and they may be the exception to the rule of pivoting, because they decided to do waffles, and that's what they're doing. They're not changing to doing, what else would you do, pancakes?
Yeah, and they came in with the idea, you know, to start, and they found a niche just from their background and what they loved to do and wanted to start here for years. And they didn't have to pivot too much. What they pivoted on is, you know, changing up the menu, you know, quite often, and have a specialty, you know, waffles or different, you know, styles that they wanted to bring in. However, it's their main source of, you know, the business is waffles, which has proved to be very successful here in the area.
I guess if you call it Superior Waffles, that's a pretty good idea. So,
exactly.
And, you know, where they've been a victim of their own success, I know, is when they literally have run out of batter. The waffle maker was a birthday present, I believe, and they took it seriously and said, well, wait a minute, we can do all kinds of things with this, and here we are.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, you see a lot of businesses that are more niche businesses when they're out of their materials for the day, or they sell out of the certain items. You know, they're sold out, which has proven to be successful for a variety of different businesses, you know, here locally.
So tell us again about the incubator space and what's offered for entrepreneurs there.
Yeah, so part of the space that we have here is, you know, if you come to the space, it's a large four-story building. So what we're going to be doing with it is turning into not only co-working, but incubation and acceleration. So the business owners and organizations will have the opportunity to be in a co-working space where they can rent a cube, lease some space, you know, on the first floor where our office is in, that we'll be able to certainly support. But also, you know, look at some different closed office space, either, you know, potentially in the third floor or in the basement area, where they could have some space where they can do, you know, light manufacturing, some light, you know, commercial stuff with their business, have some space to work. And do a variety of different things. But also part of that is, you know, creating some different programming and accelerator models where we can get businesses in here that are looking to scale and thrive for the years to come. So it wouldn't be your normal, you know, coffee shop or potentially like a yoga studio. It'd be a business that is looking to hire employees in the future that has a tangible product or service that they need office space to start, but we can work with them side by side, giving them the resources that we can provide through the SBDC, but also helping them make connections within the community. So in due time, they'll be able to graduate, move out, and then have their own space where they can launch their business.
And is that below market rate for the shared space, or?
It would be a variety of different price points, just depending on how much space everybody needs. So what I would recommend, if they do need to make the connection, is to connect with Jim Caesar from the Development Association, who through the Superior Business Center is, you know, operating the building. And he will certainly be able to work with him to give him the best price possible.
Mm-hmm. And then again, co-working, people may not be familiar with that term. although there's, you know, companies that do this. WeWork is the big one. So do you get services like a shared copy machine or a phone service? Or, of course, today you're talking to me on my cell phone. So, but, do you have shared services?
Certainly, there would be shared services that would be available from, you know, mail delivery, where it'd be, you know, a shared service with that, to shared printer, copier, you know, potentially a popcorn machine, coffee, you know, throughout the day. You know, think of it as just a
or runs to Superior Waffles, right?
Or runs to Superior Waffles or Twisted Pastries or whoever else you'd like to go see on Tower Avenue, though. But, you know, there'd be a bit mailbox options, you know, coffee options, just like how you'd be normally working with your, you know, a regular office. It would be more of a shared office space where you could also, you know, network with other entrepreneurs, organizations that you might have similar interests with. But even more so, you know, working with us directly through business resources, you know, and at the SBDC to make sure that we can help you thrive and grow, you know, as quickly and efficiently as possible.
And conference room space, I imagine.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a couple conference rooms here in the building itself that you would be able to utilize.
All right. We've been speaking with Andrew Donahue, director of the Small Business Development Center, which once more you can find at 1401 Tower Avenue in Superior. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Robin.
Well, now that we've discussed the how and why of new businesses in the region starting up during the pandemic, let's get to the who. And who better to tell us than Shelley Nelson, longtime reporter for the Superior Telegram. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, how are you, Robin?
Doing just fine, Shelley. So every so often, you and the Telegram publish a roundup of new business startups, and you have stories most every week, I think, on individual companies. Who are some of the notable ones who started in the last few months? And I've already talked Superior Waffles to death, so you don't have to mention that one. But along the line of waffles, I understand we got a bunch of restaurants?
Yeah, Bucktails is opening up in the Shorty's Pizza and Smoked Meats building on the 13th. The new restaurant will include favorites from Bucktails, as they exist now out by Patterson Park, and the Shorty's menus.
And Bucktails, the existing one, is pretty popular. Where are they again?
They're out near Patterson Park currently.
Is this the same menu that they decided to bring downtown, or?
Yep, they're bringing the same menu downtown, and they're adding some favorites from the old Shorty's restaurant.
All right, we'll be looking for that and other new restaurants.
Outside of Superior, the old Katie's building in downtown Solon Spring is now open as Brunches.
Brunches being the name of the restaurant, not just the time of day, right?
Right, right. The owner, Chrissy Wilds, is serving up breakfast and lunch 5 days a week and dinner 3 nights a week. And customers can expect fresh homemade food in a relaxed atmosphere. And dine-in and takeout are both available.
All right, that's in Solon Springs. Bringing us back to Superior, we got something in Billings Park.
Oh, yeah. Superior Row decided to offer scratch cooking and New Orleans flavor to the Superior venue. The catering bakery pop-up restaurant is now serving meals 3 days a week, and chefs Paul Lukens and Jeremy Wilson started serving up gumbo, jambalaya, beignets, and other items in the former Billings Park Cafe building.
Mm-hmm. And Superior Row is spelled how? Row? We can spell Superior.
R-O-U-X.
Aha. There's the New Orleans flavor right there.
Yep.
Some businesses combine restaurants and other enterprises, maybe Food for the Soul. We have one of those, I understand.
Yeah, the Ruth Free Store opened at 1419 Belknap, but quickly outgrew the space. They are now offering free lunch and dinner that's served in a sectioned-off restaurant with Pastor Jack of Walking Victorious Ministries, likening the church to social type of meal service, with the added bonus of being able to shop during the meal in the free store.
I saw their tagline in the article by your colleague Maria Lockwood that said, "The one thing you won't find here is a cash register." And Maria also described their services, including a warming center during cold weather for people experiencing homelessness. And I believe the clothing items and other goods are largely donated, similar to a Goodwill.
It is. It's a lot of donated items that they receive that they simply give away for people who need the help.
As well as need the nourishment, both spiritually and physically. So beyond eateries, those aren't the only businesses in town. What else do we have?
Well, we have Kay's Legendary Corner. They held their grand opening April 4th in the Board of Trade building at 1507 Tower Avenue. They're up on the second floor. Owner Christy Lampe specializes in personalized items, which can run the gamut from family pictures on a puzzle, a mouse pad or a wallet, or specific sayings that a customer prefers on a shirt, blanket, or drink pouch.
That certainly is a personal touch.
Yeah. And then for people who like to pump up the volume, there is Soundtronics, a new business offering audio and accessory for vehicles, boats, motorcycles, and UTVs that opened in the former Scott's Inc. building on Belknap Street. They opened February 1, and they offer speakers, amplifiers. The owner, Dustin Mishler, carries wheels, lighting, tires, doors, windshields, roofs, remote car starters, pretty much any aftermarket add-on drivers may need.
You know, I was looking for a car audio store in Superior, and I can't say there are no others, but you've directed me to one because I've got a radio in my car that is somehow disconnected from the antenna, so I'm not getting very much reception. I've got to take it somewhere and perhaps there. Well, you have another one that has a very interesting name that may leave you thinking, did I hear that right?
Yeah, Superior Cannabis Company opened a Superior storefront on May 1st at 1325 Tower Avenue.
All right, but I want to stop you right there. Superior Cannabis, they are not selling marijuana, which is not quite a legal retail product in Wisconsin, at least not just yet.
They are selling CDB products derived from hemp. The business added to its locations in Duluth Canal Park and Austin, Minnesota.
Got it. Sounds like a growing company. And I get it also that it is related to cannabis or marijuana, but not at all a mind-altering substance or illegal drug in any way. Speaking of drugs, or more specifically, healthcare, there's a new facility in town?
Yep. Lake Superior Community Health Center opened its new patient care facility at 2222 East 5th Street on February 3rd. It ends their three-year-long journey to create a new space in Superior, and the clinic's footprint increased from 18,000 square feet to 25,000 square feet, allowing for expanded services in key areas like dental care.
All right. Well, it sounds like we've got a whole smorgasbord of opportunities. Again, not just restaurants, but food for mind, body, and soul. How about that? We've been speaking with Shelley Nelson, longtime reporter for the Superior Telegram. We're going to talk more about a business profiled in the Telegram in a moment, a man with a flying machine. And you'll come back and join us for the weekly roundup of regional news after that.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you then. Coming up.
Do you want to see it fly?
Your personal trip to the sky may be through Poplar.
A few years ago, I had an idea for a personal flying device that would strap to my back. Welcome to the birth of that dream.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Human beings have dreamed of flying since time immemorial. And of course, today we've accomplished it through all sorts of aircrafts, from hang gliders to 747s. But what if you could attach a drone to your back, going wherever you want it to, and leaving your hands free to, well, just don't text while flying? That technology, minus the texting, is the dream of mechanical engineer Daniel Gant. And more than dreaming, he's working on making a human-carrying drone at his home in Poplar. I visited him at his workshop the other day, but first, let's hear him describe it in a promotional video for his company, Ascend Dynamics, and his aircraft, the Skypack V1.
Flight as we know it is inspiring, but I dream of more. A flying experience as free as possible, something that makes me forget it's even there, something that's different. By using the principle of vectors, I could create an electric multirotor in a new way that would put all of the rotors completely behind me, yet still be controlled like a common drone with all of the benefits. A layout like this would leave the pilot's field of view free from most of the aircraft. This would also enable various practical uses of the vehicle, as physical objects could be approached while in flight for inspections or to have work performed on them. First, I designed a small-scale prototype to prove out the idea. Then it was time to make a large-scale vehicle with 12 rotors and over 100 horsepower of electric motors. We started by welding a frame out of aluminum and assembling the electronics and power system. Then we attached everything to a wooden frame to protect it and provide a stable base and proper balance during the test phase. After over a month of building, we finally had it ready for its first flight. We have now spent 7 months testing and making adjustments to the Skypack V1. Each flight, with its successes and failures, helped us to improve the prototype and take yet another step forward. It is now time for the next step. We are going to take everything we've learned and make a new prototype with many improvements, like guards around the rotors for safety and a lot more thrust. With this new prototype, we can move to the next phase, which is manned flight. This milestone will bring us closer to delivering the Skypack to you.
And that was a promotional video by Daniel Gant for the human-carrying drone he's developing, the Skypack V1. We're here with Daniel at his workshop next to his home in Poplar. Thanks for inviting me. And what have you got to show us?
Well, I've got a interesting take on an aircraft that I would like to show you today. Basically, it's a drone. It takes all of the standard drone technology that exists and has been developed in the last 10 plus years and is going to hopefully allow us to make a really neat and new kind of approach to a manned aircraft. Kind of expanding on helicopter a little bit and making it really small, something that we can hopefully put on our back and like it's a backpack, and also, you know, have kind of a free flying experience with some very interesting potential commercial uses for it. The layout being completely behind the pilot allows you to approach things in the air even. A very easy to understand example is the light bulbs on top of cell towers. You could easily fly this up there to change that or do some kind of work and avoid a 500-foot climb up a ladder.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what you do normally and what got you doing this.
So my background is mechanical engineering, and I have a love of aviation. So I flew model airplanes since I was 13 years old. And have always wanted to get into more aircraft design. I have a pilot's license and really enjoy flying, whether it's full-scale or RC airplanes.
Do you work as a mechanical engineer here in Poplar?
This is my full-time job here in my shop right now.
Okay.
So I was blessed to have enough money saved up to be able to do this and do this full-time and be able to focus on, let's see if I can make some of my crazy ideas work and fly. And they do fly. So that was what we were able to do.
And we're sitting in what I think used to be a garage, your work area. Got the usual tools, I can see, and all sorts of adapted drone kind of things, and some model planes too, which I take it obviously fly.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's great to have a second garage building that I can heat and stay somewhat warm in the winter end and come out and do some neat design work and building and prototyping, and I love this kind of stuff.
So what have we got here in terms of flying machines? I'm looking at two little ones. They're your normal-sized drones, but they have little sort of human doll-shaped figures on them, attached to them, and they're wearing this backpack sort of drone.
Yeah, so these are kind of proof-of-concept prototypes that I developed, and they're quarter-scale based off of what I want to be the full scale, what would fly a person. And one is just all wood. It's really easy to prototype with wood. And these are just standard off the internet drone components, whether they're motors and props, the motor controllers that actually run everything, and that kind of thing. So that's what this one is. And the other one is actually the exact same thing, except it's more a proof of concept for the full-size one that I also built and flew unmanned, but it kind of proved out before I did all the work to do the big one, is this going to work? And so the frame is the exact same thing, only it's, instead of being aluminum, it's 3D printed, And then I've got a little 3D printed Iron Man.
3D printed, you mean yes. Produced in plastic?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So 3D printing is an amazing tool to do all kinds of prototyping and try parts quickly and cheaply.
And to describe for a radio audience, the backpack is kind of like you were saying, it would allow you to get up and change light bulbs on a cell phone tower. But I think a better analogy might be the extravehicular packs that astronauts wear for doing work outside of the space shuttle. Mm-hmm. So if they have that, what's the difference between what they have and what you're doing with what would be a big giant drone on your back?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question, actually. So There's several big differences between what an astronaut might use and what this is. An astronaut is in zero gravity, so he's floating around. So he needs really low forces that can help him maintain orientation and move around in a slow but controlled fashion. On Earth, we have 1G of gravity always pulling down on us. And if you weigh 200 pounds, that's a lot of force. That if we want to fly, we have to generate that much force straight down. So that's kind of the biggest difference, is we need a lot more force. Beyond that, it's actually very similar in that we're using forces pushing and kind of pulling at different angles to give us full control of the system. So if I push straight down and have a force that's then lifting me up, that'll get me off the ground. But if I want to move forward, I've either got to push myself forward somehow or tilt forward. And that's kind of what this does, is I'm pulling at different angles to allow me to have that control over the whole system.
And not to get too much into NASA's territory, the jet propulsion packs, that's what they are.
Yeah.
They work differently because there's no atmosphere out in space. So a drone wouldn't work in space, right? Because the whole point of a drone is that the blades of the propeller push against wind, and wind, even though we think of it as not really being there, it is a windy day as we're sitting here talking to you. You can hear a little bit of the wind blowing against the tarp. But in space, there wouldn't be any wind to push against.
Yes, I mean, that is very true. So a propeller works in some kind of a fluid.
Wind is a fluid, right?
Yeah, gas. Air is a gas, and it behaves like a fluid. A boat propeller works the same as an airplane propeller in general principles, at least. When you're in space, you don't have some kind of a fluid that you're in. You're in a vacuum. And so you actually have to use your own gas. So a rocket engine produces a gas that accelerates to a really, really high speed, and that produces a force. So it's different ways to produce a force. So I want a force that can lift me off the ground. And there's a bunch of different ways you can do that. Propeller in a fluid, or a rocket engine pushing a gas very, very fast. It gives you the same end result of a force.
So one more exploration, if you will, of the space analogy. Why not use a jet propulsion pack? And other people are doing what you're doing, which I'm going to get to in a bit. But, you know, people do have jet propulsion packs for human beings to put on their backs. So why not do that? Wouldn't that seem to be more of the more modern way of doing things?
I don't know. There have been rocket packs.
Well, there have been people who have done this in terrible results, but yes.
Yeah. No, there have been rocket packs since, I don't know, the 60s. And the problem is they're very good for certain tasks. They're not necessarily the best for let's go fly around for 30 minutes. You can't carry enough fuel. It burns the fuel so fast. So it's not fuel efficient. But that has been around. I mean, that's actually one of the easiest ways, and probably one of the cheapest ways to do something like this, as long as you don't want to fly very long. We can also use jet engines. There's a number of companies doing things like this, where you're lifting a person off the ground and flying around with jet engines. Again, it's actually a very good way to do it, except it's fuel inefficient again. So it takes a lot of fuel to fly. And if we're trying to hover, just float in the air like a helicopter would, just hovering, a rocket is not the best option.
Particularly when there's an atmosphere.
Right, right. Particularly when there's an atmosphere that we can put a propeller and produce that same lifting force to hold the aircraft in the air with a lot less power and a lot less energy.
Right.
Jet engine will give you a faster speed. But when we're trying to hover, a helicopter is one of the most efficient ways to do it. So going to propeller is a lot more efficient. But now we're stepping into electric motors. Electric motors are also very efficient. The downside is batteries. The battery technology is 10 to 20 times less energy dense, meaning the amount of energy I get for 1 pound of battery, its batteries are 10 to 20 times less, meaning I cannot fly this very long with battery technology as it is. So we have to do something else to produce a method of carrying enough energy to get a long flight time. I think the electric motors, the propellers are definitely the way to go if you want to be efficient. Again, the drones that we've seen just take off, pun intended, over the last 10 years, the things you can do with a drone are just mind-blowing, what you can do. And the sensors you can put on there, GPS, you know, the military or law enforcement can use infrared cameras. You know, there's all these
different... Not to mention more lethal devices.
Yes, yeah. But, I mean, there's...
You're not doing that.
No. But, I mean, there's all these integrations you can do because the whole system's electric. That is just amazing. Not to mention we're dealing with one moving part per motor versus, you know, how many moving parts in a jet engine or in a internal combustion piston.
We are speaking with Daniel Gant at his workshop next to his home in Poplar, where he is developing the Skypack V1, a full-size human-carrying drone.
So do you take the battery up with you on these, and how long does it last?
So on the full-scale prototype that we have, it's only lasts about 2 minutes, which is not usable, but it's usable from a standpoint of testing and proving out the design works. So to make this a usable device, we need at least 20 minutes. And really, that's not going to make anybody happy. 20 minutes isn't enough time to go fly around. So, you know, 30 minutes or more. And that's really the trick, is how do we take a system like this? These kinds of systems, electric motors, propellers, that kind of stuff, that all works. And that's proven out. And you see a lot of companies doing things in this realm right now. How do we give a usable flight time? How do we carry enough energy? Batteries can't do it right now. Do you want to see it fly?
Yes, we do. So you basically have a drone controller, right?
Yeah, this is all hobby. Go down at your local radio-controlled flying club, has this kind of stuff. So, yeah, and it's cheap. You know, it's not manned rated, but we don't need that for prototypes.
So if you're wondering, wait a minute, a store-bought drone certainly flies for more than a couple of minutes, that's true. The problem, Gant said as he flew one of the prototypes from just outside his garage to his neighbor's field across the road, is a human-sized drone requires far more than 4 times the energy of his quarter-sized prototype, especially when you consider that the human, or mannequin, attached to it is dead weight. Still, the small prototypes were useful for Gant in proving the basic concept works, with the configuration around a human body or similar shape.
And again, what makes this different than just a regular drone is that this is designed with a human being in mind.
Yes, it's pretty much the exact same thing as a standard drone, except we're taking all of the rotors, all of the propellers, and putting them behind the main part of the aircraft, or the,
which would be the human being,
right, in this case the person. So it's behind, so it's stacking them vertically.
His models even did tricks.
You conveniently have gone under the power line to your house.
Yep.
After flying the prototypes, Gant strapped on the full-size version.
I'm looking at the full-size prototype. The blades are basically exposed, but when it's got a human or even the mannequin on, you would have cages around them that would protect you from the propellers.
Yes, that is correct. This one's scary. This one's very scary without the ducts around it. We put a duct, a cylinder, if you will, a circle cylinder around the propellers, and that would keep them, you know, safe so that you can't get
just
an
like
arm.
Just like a fan, a cage. A cage, yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. So the whole thing is you have to be safe. I don't want to, you know, put my arm up and get it chopped off. That would be very bad.
Yes, as I see the blades go extremely fast right next to you, I do understand the need for the ducks or yes. the cages.
Yeah, and that was at like 1% power. So you fire this up and it gets scary.
Unlike the mannequin that has gotten a couple feet off the ground, Gant says he's not ready to go airborne just yet.
But I can put it on and kind of demonstrate what it would be like to walk around with it and turn the motors on and just show what they can kind of do.
And you are nowhere near using them at full power.
Yeah, this is very, very small power.
If you did go to full power, would it lift you a little?
Yes. It would lift me a little. I don't know that it would get me off the ground, but I would go light on my toes. And it would feel interesting. I could probably jump, you know, and get fairly high.
Okay. So will it work? There are bugs to be worked out, of course, and more importantly, new technologies such as far more efficient batteries yet to be invented. Like any business, Gantz Ascend Dynamics is looking for investors.
To make this next prototype happen, we need your help. You can do that by liking and subscribing to this channel. And if you want to give to keep this project going, check out the links in the description. My name is Daniel. We are Ascend Dynamics. Let's fly.
But the inventor says he's doing what he loves, and he's happy however it works out.
So how long are you willing to wait for technology to catch up with you and for it to begin to pay off in some way?
For me, I'm an ideas guy. So if at some point I, for whatever reason, can't continue this development, I've got other ideas. I will keep going with crazy ideas like this, mostly in aviation too, probably. But I see this as doable. It's on the edge of doable. It can happen.
In Poplar, this is Robin Washington. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and our normal news partners, Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune and Wisconsin Public Radio Superior-based reporter Danielle Kading, are both off today. With us once again is Shelley Nelson from the Superior Telegram. Hi again, Shelley.
Hi, Robin.
So you've got a little local history to start us off with, and a story about a man who could have been president.
Yeah. Next week, our Superior City Council is holding a public hearing and considering listing a property in Central Park on its municipal register of historic places. The proposal was brought forth by Councillor Brent Fennessy, who owns the home. He purchased the home in 2013 with his wife, Ashley. At the time he bought the home, he bought it for its character. He didn't know about the history of the house until he was approached by local librarian, historian, and author Teddy Morana, who advised him that the home was built by the only U.S. senator to come from Superior, Irvin Lenroot. And Mr. Lenroot could have been the 30th president of the United States. And the interesting thing about this is the reason he didn't become president is the delegates at the 1920 Republican National Convention in Chicago on a Saturday night ignored party leaders and gave the vice presidential nomination to Calvin Coolidge. And we all know that Calvin Coolidge became president in 1923 after the death of then-president Warren Harding.
Well, you know, there is a local connection. I'm going to show off some of my historical knowledge with Calvin Coolidge, because he, while president, actually visited the Brule. That was one of his favorite, if not his favorite, fishing spot.
At the invitation of Mr. Lenroot.
Ah, well, that part I did not know. Well, that certainly does sound like history, so we'll see if the council agrees and makes it official. I don't know if this group is making history or not, but they're certainly having fun and making news. The Bordertown Bettys.
Yep. Well, they actually got started in 2019, but have been kind of low-key because of the pandemic. But what it is a group of women with a passion for vintage clothing evolved into a pinup social club focused on women's empowerment and fundraising for causes that make Superior a better place. This Saturday, they have an event coming up at the Douglas County Historical Society, a 1960s version of a surf rock party that is raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And what they are probably most famous for is their pinup contests on July 4th that take place in conjunction with the Dennis Van Alstyne Memorial Car Show on Tower Avenue.
All right. Well, we will put that on our calendars, and maybe you can come back and give us the update. Going beyond Superior or the border or as far as your wings can take you, tomorrow is World Migratory Bird Day.
Yes, it is, and Superior is celebrating. They're going to have a guided walk with the Audubon Society, and they're going to take a walk along Wisconsin Point, which is rich with migratory birds. And then after the walk, around 9:30, there's going to be some events at Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve that will allow people to learn more about migratory birds. And they actually plan to set out scopes so people can see the birds that are around Barker's Island.
All right. Well, they should call it Chirper's Island rather than Barker's, at least for the event. So. All right. We've been speaking with Shelley Nelson, reporter for the Superior Telegram. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Robin. You have a good day.
You too. And all of you can stay updated on these stories and all the news anytime at WPR.org and SuperiorTelegram.com. And finally, we have an abbreviated musical selection today, a song by Christopher David Hansen from the Minnesota side of our listening area that we thought fit perfectly with David Gant's efforts to touch the sky. It's Christopher's recent entry in the Facebook Singer-Songwriter Challenge group, where the challenge was to write a song about the word eagle. To take us out, here's Another World, It Seems. I'm Robin Washington. As always, stay safe, everyone.
Maybe I was made for such hot places. Maybe I was made for such a fall. Rub the tumble side of trouble. Maybe I wasn't built this way at all. I look above, I see you fly, and it makes me jealous. Envy is like my chain and ball. Close my eyes, picture sky. Best my darkest. Something soothing about the sound of an old guitar. But I sleep good when I lay down. Sometimes I fly in my dream. It's like a world celebration. Like another world, it seems. Try to wrap my Yes, anything is possible. You can spot any problem from your vantage. Fly your way around. Keep your distance from the damage. Never touch the ground. Updrafts and gravity. All the push and pull of sanity. Sleeping so safe and sound. But I sleep good when I lay down. Sometimes I fly in my dreams. It's a world of celebration. It's like another I sleep good when I lay down. I fly in my dreams. Seems like a world of celebration. Seems like another.